Got it on there now?
Yeah, so we can do it. But
we're going?
Yeah, we're going. But, you know, as whether it's just a one time with you or something that continues, the more episodes I do, I'll be having a little more put together here and there, or structured, unless I can find somebody that's really good at getting stuff like this set up, and then
okay,
I can have like a production and introduction. But so you were talking about so actually introduce yourself.
Okay, so I just want to say thank you for asking me to do this. It's kind of cool. My name is Tim, and I am an addict. I have been in and out of recovery for the past 17 years. Heroin is my drug of choice, but you know, pretty much whatever's in your pocket will suffice. You know, when I got introduced to 12-step, it was so foreign, the language, the people, the structure of going to meetings all the time, you know, it was just the complete opposite of what I had known in my using. But once I, you know, finally got past that 1-2-3 shuffle that I did for forever, and got a sponsor and did service work and started really, you know, participating in my own recovery, things started to click and make a little bit more sense. And along the way, I picked up some pretty amazing theories on how to stay sober, you know. So tonight, Andrew's asked me to talk about CRP and the theory that if in our life we build 5 CRPs, the percentages that stay sober in following this method are astronomical.
Yeah, what is CRP?
What
does it stand for?
Community, role, and purpose. Okay. So if we participate actively in 5 communities in our life and in our schedule, and really play a role and have a purpose, the things that idea can do for us is huge. One, it kind of shows ourselves that we are people who can show up, you know. In our using, we probably all have been through just being the flakiest people in the world, you know. It leads us there. But this idea gives us a chance to show ourselves and be able to like see that we can, you know, be structured, and the outcomes from it are great. I mean, and the things, the communities that we're talking about are like, you know, your 12-step group. You'll have your meetings a week. You meet your sponsor once a week. You do your service work. Your church, if spirituality is part of your recovery, which for me it is. The gym was a big one for me at that time. You know, I was kind of a gym rat.
Yeah.
You know, and we were talking earlier and you were just saying, you know, I got to get to the gym.
Yeah.
And that's a big one for a lot of people because, you know, for me getting sober, the ego started to come back, you know, and I wanted to look good and I wanted to feel good. I wanted to look as good as I felt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
After getting off that cloud.
Yeah.
So anyway, I mean, we build our schedule around the communities we participate in. We have an active role and we have our purpose. And in doing this, there's some good and there is some bad. And some people say, you know, well, all you're doing is just making it so that you don't have time to do drugs. Well, yeah, I mean, and that's kind of true, right?
Well, something to fill the void.
For sure. But think about how many people you deal with when you're actively using. You know, not very many. You have your dealer.
Mm-hmm.
You have that one homie who does drugs with you.
Right.
You have that girl.
Very small circle.
Yeah, very small circle. So in this in building this in our life, you know, we start putting ourselves out there to make some real friends. And the communities you're taking part in are communities with good people who want to see you succeed. And that uplifting motivation and support is a huge factor, you know. We had a conversation earlier, Andrew, about not feeling good enough. That's a big one for a lot of us, that we don't feel good enough, and that we play victim, and that we're poor me, poor me, poor me. You know, I'll admit I'll do it in my addiction, and I'll even do it in my sobriety sometimes. I don't have to catch myself and say, "Wait a minute, dude, this isn't what we're doing today." But you know, your communities are your communities, and they can go as far as, you know, your book club, you can go knit with your grandma on every Sunday. You get to see your grandma, you get to go see all her friends, you get to be the cool young kid at the party, you know, and you get to knit some blankets. I mean,
so is that, so activities as such that you describe it, are those part of the 12 step that you're talking about, or what exactly are those 12 steps?
The 12 steps.
If you can recollect.
I mean, in recovery, you're going to run into people who are pro 12 step programs and people who aren't, and you know, 12 step is not the only way to get sober.
Right.
And,
I agree.
I definitely take part in it because for me, it works. You know, I can sit here and rattle off all the steps for you, but you know, just open the book. That's half the battle.
Right.
You know, so don't think that 12 step is the only way that you can get sober, and don't let anybody tell you that. These theories and these ideas, like the CRP, are different ideas to say to have a life that you didn't think you'd have.
Yeah.
And for me, that's what, you know, and I'll say this, that, you know, my longest stretch of sobriety is 2 years. And what happened to me in those 2 years were things that I never thought I could have. I never thought I could feel that way. I never, you know, sobriety is a confusing thing for someone who is so used to not being sober. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's these models and there's the literature to guide us through and kind of give us a little structure that we're just not used to.
Well, that and just the aspect of switching it up too, I think it still plays a beneficial role. But
and you know, whether you're gonna wake up in the morning and say, you know, I'm gonna follow the CRP method, well, you're gonna do that anyway. This is just kind of putting a stamp on it, because you're going to have a job, and that's probably number one. You're going to have your family back in your life, because let's get to step 8 and make our amends and get there, you know?
Right.
And once that happens, your family is going to be a community, that they are your community for some people. Your friends. Those are probably the big ones on the first 1, 2, 3 community that you're going to take part in, you know, and the rest is up to you, you know, find what you love to do and plug yourself in. And if that isn't it, then try something different, you know.
Why 12?
Why 12 steps?
Yeah.
I guess Bob just thought that's how many he needed. Yeah. I don't know.
I was just wondering if there's any, significance to it.
Just please stay away from the 13th.
Right. Right. Yeah, that, you know, I learned that hospitals, they don't have a 13th floor.
And why is that?
Something to do with religion. It'd be a good thing to, or religious superstition. I'm not
really?
Sure.
Yeah. This is true?
Yeah.
That in every hospital,
I'm not sure about every hospital.
Yeah.
But I had reconstructive surgery on my skull. Back in 2007, and when I woke up and I'm going down, you know, the elevators, this is at St. Joe's, and I noticed that they did not have a
13th floor.
Yeah, it was just labeled, you know, 11, 12, 14, 15, 16. I'm like, wait a minute.
So that kind of doesn't make sense to me because there is a 13th floor. They just aren't naming it 13. Because you can't take away the 13th floor, right?
I'd imagine so. Unless
it's not like you count from the bottom and get to 14 without a 13.
Unless there's some crazy conspiracy going on, but yeah. Or it could be something that I'm completely wrong about.
Maybe the Twin Towers didn't have a 13th floor either.
Or is it 7th? No, I'm confused.
That was a really bad joke. I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, it went over my head anyway.
Just the, you know, the conspiracy theories about.
Oh yeah, yeah, the
the bombs and
the yeah, you know, that could be for another episode.
Yeah,
actually, because conspiracy theories.
We can totally talk about conspiracy theories. I'm into it.
Yeah, I don't believe in all of them or a lot of them, but it's interesting. How many coincidences are, you know, are really true?
Yeah. Bigfoot's real.
You know, and mermaids.
Mermaids. Lennon is still alive. Tupac isn't dead.
Yeah.
And Biggie is in Mexico drinking margaritas.
So that's the story, anywho.
Yeah, so CRP, you know, there's literature out on it. Look it up. There's endless ways to get sober, and this is just one of them.
Yeah, I'll see if I can look that up. But I'm going to see. So I do have a Facebook page. It is called Refrigerate After Opening. More on why I chose that for the page title later, but I'm going to see if I can't put up information, you know,
very good,
an article on the CRP so people can look at. But yeah, no, thank you. I don't know what we're up for time. So really 12 and a half minutes. I think I was shooting for 13, but. And it definitely kind of came on very unplanned, but like I said, as time goes on.
Yeah, and we can totally touch back on these things, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good refresher for me too, you know.
Yeah, and then, I mean, really talking about it, really, that's one of the first parts of sobriety anyway.
Yeah, just getting the idea of being sober.
Yeah.
You know, that is, you're right. That is the first.
That's why I was hoping that such and such was here, even just to listen in the background. But yeah, thank you all for listening and stay tuned.